Hello everyone and welcome to the first episode of the Reel It In podcast. The podcast where we're going to talk everything from movie news to just little reviews of films I've personally watched, and just everything going on in the world of media as well as TV shows, etc. Just a bit of everything. So tune in and get ready for a whole load of movie quality. So first up, I'm going to open up with a review here. So last night, in preparation for the Oscars, I took it upon myself to watch A Real Pain, directed by Jesse Eisenberg, starring himself and Kieran Culkin. What can I say about this one? It was absolutely excellent. I was a bit dubious coming in. Obviously, a lot of films go up for Oscars. It came off the back of the BAFTAs the other week. They won a few awards. I'm sure Kieran Culkin won Best Supporting Actor. So you come off the back of that and you come into it with high expectations. But I'm glad that they did win, because that it was a piece of art. Eisenberg's direction is excellent. From a directorial debut, he was brilliant. His camera work was excellent. It shot very well. It's visually very pleasing. The film centers around two males who go on a sort of a tourist guide around Poland. And it sort of centres around the fact that their grandma had passed away and she lived in Poland. So they were going to Poland to sort of pay their respects to her and to go see where she lived and grew up, etc. So it tackled sort of grief well. It's a heavy subject matter, but they took it, they ran with it, they did very well with it. They sort of made it a bit more, like, not as dark as it could have been, which I feel like played into their advantage very well. But it was very well done, it's very well written. Kieran Culkin was very deserving of that Best Supporting Actor win and nomination, because he was excellent. I think that was my favourite part overall, was his performance. I thought he was great, and it just makes me hope that he can book a lot more projects in the future, because I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Eisenberg is decent. He's just pretty, well, just how he normally is, but Culkin's excellent. Coming off the back of like Succession and other projects, his career seems to be really picking up at the minute, and I'm glad, because given that performance, I feel like he really deserves it. And one other big praise I'm going to give them is that the soundtrack is absolutely excellent. It just fits the story very well. A lot of the time it's sort of like a sort of jazz type of soundtrack, but I think that's great. It really fits what they've gone for really well. It's a really, really great film. I'm really glad I gave it the time of day, and I'm glad that they're getting sort of the recognition that they deserve. So I would definitely recommend that one to you. I gave it a score of 8.5 out of 10. It's excellent. Going into the Oscars, I really do hope that they get like the recognition they deserve and win some more awards, because it's well deserved. So that's that one. Thinking to other films I've seen this year, recently I also watched Companion, which stars Sophie Thatcher and Jack Quaid from The Boys. I wasn't as overly impressed with this one as other people were. I thought it was fine. The performance weren't too bad. Jack Quaid is excellent. He plays this sort of manipulative boyfriend very well. He doesn't necessarily miss a beat. Sophie Thatcher is great. I'll give her praise because she is excellent at she's excellent at conveying emotions and feelings through just her face and her body language, etc. She is phenomenal at that. This is a breakout year for her. Between this and obviously starring in Heretic and Yellow Jackets, she is going to be excellent. And I'm looking forward to see what she does in the future. Again, I just said it, Quaid was excellent. But I just feel the script, the way it's wrote and everything, I just feel it's very lackluster. It's very forgettable. In the moment, watching it, it's not horrendous. You can sit through it. It's not the worst. But it's not the best, and it's getting a lot of praise from people, and I can see where it's getting the praise from, but for me, I wouldn't go there. There's some good supporting performances, but I just feel it doesn't really work. I just feel that, especially with pretty much the whole of the film taking place in just one location, I feel like it very much limits itself to the story it can tell, and that is kind of what makes it forgettable. It just feels a bit too predictable for the most part as well. So I wouldn't be on the hype train as much as other people. I gave it a 6 out of 10. I feel like that's very valid. I would recommend it, but I wouldn't go into it with too high expectations or be expecting anything overly amazing. But yeah, 6 out of 10 for that one. So the next film that I watched from this year, I've watched 4 that have come out this year so far. No, 5. I've watched 5 this year. So I'll talk about Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy next. Because I'm going in sort of order of which ones I watched when. I had maybe not high expectations, but I was really looking forward to this one. It stars in the co-stars area. It stars Leo Woodall, who I absolutely loved in The White Lotus, and I loved him in One Day. I think he is an excellent actor. And I think he does well with this role, but it's very limited screen time. I think stuff like the trailer very much hype up what his involvement, and I don't think he's given enough, really, and they don't really do it enough justice. But I think he's great given what he got. But if you're going into it for him, he only gets about 10 minutes of screen time, so if that lowers your expectations, then that's a shame. But I was hoping for more from him. We also have Hugh Grant returning, but again, he is absolutely excellent when he is on screen. But the problem is he doesn't get enough screen time again. I mean, he probably had less, if not just about the same as Leo Woodall, so about 10 minutes, which is a shame because it was a big shock in the last one that he was coming back, and then he's come back and they've not really told much story about it. Which, I mean, it's odd because it's been known that Hugh Grant actually wrote the dialogue and stuff for his character, so it's surprising that he gave himself such little time. But it's just a wasted opportunity, really. And then We also have Chiwetel Ejiofor in. He gets more screen time than the two of them. He gets probably about 20 minutes, and he's a redeeming quality, actually. I think he's really great in that role. He's really charming in the end. He seems really passionate about this. He acted really well in this one, to be fair. Alongside Zellweger, he actually did really well. Their chemistry wasn't too bad. They complemented each other pretty well. And then we get to Zellweger, who she just is who she is. She's been great in these films in the past. She's fine in this one. It's no any of the best, but she's fine. The direction's all right. It's nothing too special. And it's the way it's wrote isn't too bad. I feel a bit, you can't really be too critical of these films because they're not meant to be critically acclaimed. They just are what they are. They're supposed to be a good time. I think this one just sort of drags itself on a bit, and the plot is a bit miff-maff. The pacing is very, very bad. We can go from a very high to a very low and then straight back up to a high in just a matter of seconds. So the way that it's written in that sense, to sort the pacing, really does let it down. But it's not all bad. It's not the worst. I mean, if you're looking for a decent time to watch a film where you don't have to put too much thought into it, then yeah, give it a go. But if you're wanting something that is like critically acclaimed and is excellent, and you're expecting to love it, I would maybe swerve this one. I gave it a 5 out of 10. I'm gonna stick with that. It's just very average, very middle of the road. So yeah, I mean, give it a watch if you fancy, but I wouldn't jump at the chance. There is better. So fourth film that I want to talk about is Captain America Brave New World. So this was my second cinema trip of the year. I went to see this on the opening night. Thoughts on initial takeaway, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was unfair, some of the hate that it was getting, but coming away from it and having sort of that clarity and thinking about it, maybe the hate is sort of deserved. It's directed by Julius Ohner, who hasn't got the most directorial experience, so I'm surprised that they let him helm a project like this. The only other major film that I know that he's directed is Cloverfield Paradox, which was a bit of a fail, if I remember rightly. So, not got the best track record coming into it. The issues with this film is that obviously the whole surrounding media reported it. There's been issues with rewrites and casting and all this and that, and it becomes so obvious. Like, the fact that it came out in the press, the film sort of just, it collapses under this, and it's just so obvious that it's been rewrote and tampered with and changed and blah blah. It's just so, at times it feels bloated. It's written sort of funny as well. I mean, we get the storyline of sort of Sam Wilson taking the mantle of Captain America, and he's second guessing whether he's good enough and whether he should take the super serum and whether he's good, as good as Steve Rogers. Da 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 da. We were expecting that. That's very common for sort of first outing as a lead hero with Marvel. Seems to be a bit of the formula, really. So that's fine. I have no problems with that. The problem is with the villains. You know, I mean, if we're looking at the villains of the script, we have Tim Blake Nelson playing the leader. It's interesting to see him back, don't get me wrong, but the plot doesn't help him out, really. This isn't a Captain America film. It's almost as if Marvel have dug through the drawers and they've found like a forgotten script for Incredible Hulk 2, and they've just scribbled out that and just wrote Captain America and shoehorned him into that story. Because along with the leader, we also get Red Hulk, Thunderbolt Ross's Red Hulk. So the whole sort of plot with the Red Hulk is that the leader has been injecting him with like gamma rays, which is causing him, you know, with the blood and that, to be this mutant Hulk. And in sort in the third act of the film, we get to Ross's doing like a speech at the White House, and Stern's triggers something, and Ross finally evolves into Red Hulk. I am pleased that we've got Red Hulk. I have wanted it for a while. I think I speak for everyone that says that would agree with that. The issue is Red Hulk almost feels like it's not supposed to be there. The issue with that is Red Hulk gets about 15 minutes of screen time, if that. Maybe even 10. And the problem is, that is such a big villain in like Marvel lore that if you're going to have him, why give him such a little amount of time? He should have had more. I think it's not a bad concept with the whole leader brainwashing Ross and all this, but it just should have been done better. I mean, the film ends with Ross coming down from being Red Hulk after he caught a fucking petal from a tree, and then he imprisons himself in the raft just to ensure that nothing like this happens again. So we're leaving the door open for another Captain America film. There's rumours that the original script would have had Red Hulk die and write the character out, which would have made sense with them catching an actor such as Harrison Ford who would have portrayed that well, and obviously with his age and stuff, but they kept him around in the end, left the door open. Same with Stearns, they put him in the raft, and then the post credit scene he warns Sam Wilson about a potential threat. So that kind of, to me, keeps the door open for in the next Avengers film from them to go see him and he passes on some information about whatever's coming, probably Doctor Doom. But yeah, so it just feels lackluster. We also got introduced to, you know, Sidewinder and the Serpent Society, which I think were meant to be the original villains of this film before the rewrites. I think they kept them in because it's just sort of an introduction. Like, you got Giancarlo Esposito, he's a massive actor. You just sort of get introduced to him and his crew, and it just opens the door for something down the line. I think, personally, I would have preferred a film about the Secret Serpent Society, actually. My favourite Marvel film, personally, is The Winter Soldier. So, to have got a sort of gritty sort of thriller would have been better, because I think that's where Marvel thrives, personally. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. We got what we got. It wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it could have been so much better. And it just feels like a failed attempt to sort of kickstart a franchise, which just keeps slowly getting worse. I gave it a 7 out of 10 when I saw it. I think I'm going to bump that down to a 6, though. I definitely would recommend seeing it, but just take everything into account and just remember the mess that it is and what it could have been. But enjoy it for what it is, because it's not a bad sort of political thriller. If you take away the Marvel aspect, it's not too bad, actually. But just in the whole grander scheme of things, it could have been a lot better. But yeah, 6 out of 10 for that one. And I'm going to move into to the final film now. So the final film I want to talk about is A Complete Unknown, which is the first cinema trip I had to see this year. My thoughts? Excellent. I couldn't fault it. It seems to break that January curse in cinemas. I think it might have come out a bit earlier in America, but in the UK we only got it in January. But it was brilliant. I'd been waiting months for it, near on years. It's a project that got stuck in a bit of a developmental hell, but it managed to claw its way out, and it's a good thing that it did, because it's excellent. I mean, films in that position before have struggled, but they did really well with this one. I think Timothée Chalamet has been cast as Bob Dylan now for a good five, six years. He's always had that character on the back burner. So I'm glad he finally got to do his take on it. But it's not just him. He shines, but it's not just his praise that needs to be sung. Edward Norton, he's absolutely brilliant in that supporting role. Deservedly gets nominated for supporting actor. I don't think he should win, because as I say before, I think Kieran Culkin should win. But he does really well. It's such a good performance from him. He really dives into that character, and he's excellent. Monica Barbaro as Joan Baez, excellent. What can you fault her on? She's come leaps and bounds. She's brilliant at what she does. She looks absolutely stunning as well, and she just performs it very well. She's a really good singer also. But just her, the way she conveyed that character was just excellent. That's a real test for her. It's her first sort of big, like, Oscar-worthy film, and she's really took to it, so praise be to her. James Mangold, excellent direction. Can't fault that at all. He's proven in the past countless times that he's an excellent director, with, like, Logan and Ford vs. Ferrari and Walk the Line, etc. Very good track record. So this one not just adds to that as well. Like, his rapport is excellent as a director in Hollywood. I just got to give him praise where praise is due. It's excellent. There's not a fault I can think of for this one. Everyone was brilliant. Everyone sung really well. The songs were great. The direction's great. It's visually pleasing. Like, the way they recreated, like, the Newport Festival and stuff. It's just gorgeous. Like, the set pieces are amazing. I've always known of Bob Dylan, but I wasn't a massive Bob Dylan, like, fan before going into this. I could lie and say, oh, I know everything about him, but I didn't. So I'm really glad that they did as well with this, and I'm glad I got the opportunity to see it and sort of learn about that person and the songs, etc., because it was brilliant. I rated it 10 out of 10 when I saw it, and I still agree with that. I think Chalamet should be up there for a shout for best actor. I don't think he'll win it though, because I think Adrian Brody's got it pretty dot on with a Brutalist, but I think he definitely deserves a nod because he's excellent. I said not, like, I obviously said not, and I don't think we'll win because of Kieran Culkin. I don't think Barbaro will win. But they're just all very unlucky that this is a really good year for film, because they would have all won in previous years. Mangold could have a shout for director, but we'll just have to see. Again, just really unlucky that they've come out when they have. But this is really pleasing, and it just sets the tone for a really good year of film. And I'm really excited for what's to come for the rest of the year. So yeah, 10 out of 10, definitely go see it. It's excellent. So yeah, that's the roundup. That's my roundup of all the sort of brand new films I've seen recently. Gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll dive into some movie news and some upcoming films that I'm excited for, and we'll talk about some trailers that came out also. So yeah, stick around, guys. And we are back. I hope you enjoyed the first half of this episode, talking about, you know, thoughts and reviews of films that have come out recently. Well, let's dive into some news. So first off, one that I've just seen, actually. Star Wars director Kathleen Kennedy is set to step down from her role at the end of this year. And that's massive news. Because, obviously, Star Wars being owned by Disney, big property, blah, blah, blah. It's been tough the past few years for them. They've struggled a lot. But maybe a change in direction could help steer the ship a bit more. They've struggled in the past few years. I mean, the sequel trilogy, nobody was really all that praising about it. I mean, Force Awakens, I do really enjoy. I think that's a great film, actually, and standing alone, it's great. Last Jedi, I think it's terrible. Probably the worst Star Wars film made. If it's probably on par with Attack of Clones, actually. And then Rise of Skywalker is dreadful also. So I think this is a bit like high time. I think it probably should have happened a bit earlier. We need that new direction in this franchise to, you know, sort of breathe new life into it. Personally, someone who I would recommend for that, who I think has been doing an excellent job with Star Wars lately, is Jon Favreau. You know, made The Mandalorian. He's currently making Mandalorian and Grogu, the movie. But he's excellent. He seems to know what fans like with Star Wars. And I mean, that first run with the Disney Plus shows where we got Mandalorian the first few seasons, and then we got like Book of Boba Fett and Ahsoka and all that, he seems to understand what the fans want, and as well as like just what he wants, he's just a fan really playing in this universe and gets to create what he wants, which is great, which is what we need someone that cares about the product and not just someone who wants some money. So that could be good news. We have a few reported Star Wars projects already, with like Taika Waititi. He's got his Star Wars project, and there's a few others. I'm sure the Russo brothers may be attached to something. I think the Coen brothers are as well. I also read that Ryan Gosling could be starring in a Star Wars property sooner rather than later as well. As well as, we're just coming off the back of Skeleton Crew, which wasn't too bad. Jude Law was fine in that. The kids were fine. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but it was okay. So yeah, just getting some new life into it, it'd just be beneficial, I think. I'm going to give you a quick my personal ranking of Star Wars films, actually, because while we're on the topic, my favourite will always be Empire Strikes Back. That's excellently done. It's beautifully shot, it's well acted, it's just such a great film. Along with Return of the Jedi, excellent, really well done. Such a perfect trilogy as well. And I will say A New Hope is my third favourite as well, because that's just such a well done film as well. They're just all that. The original trilogy just stand very well on their own. They just really stand the test of time. They're excellent movies. You can just pop them on at any time. They're brilliant. After those three, I would say Revenge of the Sith, then Phantom Menace, then I'd go Force Awakens, and then Attack of the Clones, Rise of the Skywalker, Last Jedi. I think Revenge of the Sith and Phantom Menace are both pretty good. I prefer Revenge of the Sith because it's just the climax and everything great. The battle between Anakin and Obi-Wan is great. It's just such a better premise. Phantom Menace is decent, but the subject matter, it kind of drags on because of what it needs to tackle, but it's not the worst. As I said, Force Awakens, I really enjoy. a tackle that closes the best of a bad bunch. I don't enjoy it at all, but it's a lot better than both Rise of the Skywalker and Force Awakens. So yeah, that's my personal Star Wars rating. Into other news then. So this week in the UK, we've got opening in the cinema, we've got Mickey 17, starring Robert Pattinson, directed by Boone Jong-hoo, I believe. I can't remember. I can't quite remember his name, but the man that directed Parasite, etc. So, an excellent director attached to that one. Pattinson, he's excellent. He's a really good supporting cast as well. So, I'm very excited for that one, actually. I feel like it'll perform very well. It could be a run-of-the-mill action film, but it doesn't look to be. I mean, it's Robert Pattinson. He really throws himself at roles. He's excellent in what he does. He gives his all to everything. So that's an exciting one. I'm really looking forward to seeing that one. And I'll definitely get my sort of try and get my thoughts on next week's episode on that one. I'll try and see it before I do the next week. But I'm really looking forward to that one. In other news then, we also got The Monkey this week, which I'm going to try and make a conscious effort to see before next week also. I'm not the biggest horror fan, but I'm willing to give it a go for review purposes, and it does look pretty good. Theo James, I really do like Theo James, actually. He looks like he's done really well there, and obviously Elijah Wood doesn't look too bad. We'll dive back into news of future films. So we got a bit of a teaser earlier this week about Ocean's 14 from George Clooney himself, saying that they're working on it. Whether we're going to get the full returning cast for that, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But that could be decent. I feel like it's been a while. It's obviously been a while since the last, I think Ocean's 13 was like 2007. And then they obviously tried to do the spin-off with Sandra Bullock and all them, and it just didn't work. So we'll see. Maybe they're just flogging a dead horse, really, but we'll just have to see. I mean, Ocean's 11's great, so is 12. 13 is, so the formula's there, you know. The formula isn't bad. We'll just have to see how it's executed. I don't have that much faith, though. But it shouldn't be too bad. But yeah. So, I'm going to move into a segment now. I'm going to go through my most anticipated films of this year and as to why. So first, the new Jurassic World film. That is a franchise that I just hold so dearly, because a lot of the time they are awful. The Jurassic World trilogy was awful. But the original Jurassic Park is brilliant. I hold it so dearly because I've seen it that many times and I think it's excellent. So I'm really looking forward to that new one. And the cast that they've got, I'm really excited for. Jonathan Bailey, he's really gone up in my opinion recently. Being in Wicked and All of Us Strangers and just various British TV. I think he's excellent. I think he's going to do really well here. This is going to be sort of a big break for him. Scarlett Johansson also, I think she'll be great. She's always great at everything she does. And Mahershala Ali as well. It's got a very interesting cast. And it looks like it'll be an interesting one. Will it do well? Probably not, because that franchise seems to be a bit dead at the minute. But I personally love it, so I'm very much looking forward to that one. As well as F1 is another film that I'm really looking forward to. Brad Pitt looks like he's done really well with that one. Obviously, watching the Formula One season and seeing them filming it, etc., just looks brilliant. The trailers look really good. They look like they've done a pretty good job with that one. So really looking forward to that one also. Looking into other films that seem to be coming out this year, Mission Impossible, really looking forward to that one. Another franchise that I really do love. So I'm hoping for a good film there, you know, just doing diligence to the franchise. Superman, really looking forward to that one. I love James Gunn. I think he's going to do really well with that one. And the lad that's playing Superman, I can't remember the name off my top of my head, but I'm excited to see how he does in this lead role, see if he does well. And sort of like hoping that we can relaunch the DC franchise, because DC is really great. So hopefully we can get something good out of that, because I love DC. I love the previous cinematic universe. So hopefully we can do even well, because I mean, if you look at James Gunn's previous DC projects, the Suicide Squad is excellent, Peacemaker's great. So this hope, there is a lot of hope there. Speaking of sort of superheroes, we got a Marvel, Thunderbolts. I'm really looking forward to that one. I've seen the trailers countless times. Every time you go to the cinema, they show it. Looks really fun, actually. It looks like they've sort of, the sort of seriousness they put into Captain America, it looks like they've kind of let off the gas with this one, and they've let it be a bit more fun, which is good. It should be fun, because it doesn't need to be tackled as seriously. So I'm really looking forward to that one coming out, as well as Fantastic Four later in the year. Obviously, we got the trailer at the Super Bowl. It looks great. I'm just, again, interested to see how they tackle it, and how it's going to connect to the wider universe, actually, with it being set in the past and stuff. But no, I'm really looking forward to those two. Also, next film, Novocaine. Really looking forward to that one. I'm sure that we're getting that soon in the UK. Having seen Jack Quaid in Companion, I thought he was brilliant, and I loved him in The Boys, etc. I feel like he looks really good in this one. He looks like a good lead. Looks like a really fun time. It looks like just something that you can sort of turn your brain off to. Maybe not expecting all too much, but I'm expecting a good time. So I am pretty pleasantly surprised for that one. As well as A24's Warfare. We finally got a release date for that one in the UK, April time. So I'm really looking forward to that one. The cast looks excellent. Will Poulter, Joseph Quinn, Kit Connor, Noah Centineo. It's a real good ensemble. The trailers look to be done really well. It looks shot well. It looks like it's written pretty good. I'm really excited to see how they all do, because it seems to be actors that have seemed to have predominantly been more supporting roles. So I'll be interested to see how they can all lead by themselves. I've got no problem with Paul. I think he's excellent. Midsommar is excellent, and other films. So I've got no issues with him leading. He was great in The Bear also. Joseph Quinn, also, he was led Quiet Place Day One. It wasn't too bad. He was in Stranger Things, obviously. He was great in that. He's going to be in Fantastic Four. He seems to be having a bit of a good year. Seems to be a bit of a pickup for him. So that's good for him. I'm glad he can like push on now and make a good career for himself. He's a rising star, and he deserves it. He's great. Kit Connor also was in Wild Robot, which I hear good things about, which I've not seen yet. Obviously, he was in Heartstopper, which I absolutely loved. So hopefully this would be a good role for him also. So yeah. But that's going to conclude my section about films that I'm excited for. So yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. This has been the first episode of the Read It In podcast. Just sort of finding us feet and finding what we want to talk about. It's been a bit of a jumbled episode, but we've got through it. We've got the points across. We've had some good talking points. Hopefully in the future we can get some guests on and have some sort of back and forth between. I think it'd be a lot easier to talk about stuff with a sort of co-host. But yeah, this has been a good episode by all accounts, guys. I've really enjoyed making it, and I hope you guys have enjoyed listening. So keep your eyes peeled for the next episode, which should be next week now, where we'll have a lot. We'll talk about films that I've seen during the week and any news that has come out in the time since. But yeah, I've really enjoyed this one, guys, and I hope you have too. And I'll see you next time.